So we looked last week, if you remember, let's do a little bit review, okay? We looked last week and we saw Paul is in prison. He's been captured. He's in chains. Everybody say he's in chains. And he's focusing on that which is good. The Bible tells us to do that, and that's what he's walking in. And so because he's focusing on that which is good, we don't hear about how bad the prison smells. We don't hear about how awful it is to be in chains. We don't hear about how annoying it is where he has to go to the restroom. We hear no complaints about the food, the conditions, none of it. All we hear is that he's being influenced. He's influencing these people that are around him. Even some of the high officials are starting to listen to the gospel. And we hear that that people are finding out that he's in chains. And because they're finding out that he's in chains, now they're encouraged and now they're bolder to preach the gospel. And so we see that Paul is not, he's in the middle of a mess, but when you read, it doesn't feel like he's messed up. And we spent a lot of time last week about talking about the reality, but I want to go about smiling and the importance of us smiling. The importance of us having an attitude of happiness. But I want to go a little deeper today because even though last week, and we kind of talked a little bit about it, but even though we understand how important it is to smile, and even though we can say smiling is my favorite, we really need to, if you want to smile on the outside, you've got to smile on the inside. Hello. And so if you're not smiling, and what we said last week, the fake out is, the deception is, you say, no, Pastor, I'm a happy person. I just don't smile a lot. No, let me tell you what's going on. Your demeanor is exposing your heart. In other words, whatever is going on outside is really going on inside. Hello? And I'm not saying that you can't put up the mask and act happy for 10 minutes, because we all can do that. But if I followed you around, you know what? If we would be able to very quickly locate what was really going on in your heart. Because if you're smiling on, I'm talking about throughout the day, if your attitude, if your demeanor is a smiling, if your attitude is smilish, then I know that your heart is smilish. See, the outside is an indication of what's really going on the inside. So when we look at Paul and we look at what's going on, we can understand, you know what, even though he's got all kinds of troubles on the outside, the only thing we hear is about is the positive things, the things that he's focusing on, because from the heart, the mouth speaks. And I guarantee you, if you visited Paul, you would go into a atmosphere of somebody that was full of joy and full of peace and full of contentment, you know what I mean? And so what we said last week, again, to do a little bit of review, what we said last week is the deception is that, here's where you're deceived. You think, and we think, that when the situation changes, then I'm going to get happy. Okay. The problem with that mentality is, even if the situation changes, there's always another thing to complain about. Hey, let's be honest. How many know this morning, how many had something this morning that they could complain about? Raise your hand if something, listen. And if you're honest, if you focus, every one of us could have something to complain about. Okay? See, it's not about, but you've been deceived in thinking, no, that's, listen, we've been deceived in thinking, no, that's not who I am. I'm really happy. I just never, well, watch it. I'm really happy person. I just never smile. No, I'm really full of joy. I'm just grumpy all the time. No, really. I mean, my here, can I tell you what Jesus said? Jesus said this, you know what? Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. See, from the heart, the mouth speaks. And that communication, whatever it is, you know what I mean? You said, Pastor, why are you calling me grumpy? I'm not calling you grumpy. I'm saying if you act grumpy, you are grumpy. That's what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is, if you are grumpy, then your heart is grumpy. See, the issue is you got a grumpy heart. Grumpy-hearted people are grumpy. And so, you know what? So that's why you have a speedometer. You know why you have a speedometer? Because if you don't, you'd go 90. Is this, hey, have I been the only one? I'm going to go on along the freeway, and all of a sudden I'll look down and I'll go, oh, my goodness. I'm just asking. I know none of you can relate to this. I know nobody can relate. But I go, oh, my goodness, this is a true story. This happened to me. I've been going on the freeway, and I look down, you know what I mean, and I'm going 85 miles an hour. Now, I can do two things. I can keep on driving and going, oh, I don't feel like I'm going 85. Right? Okay. And then in a little while, there'll be like these orange and red lights, and I'll be pulled over, and you'll be going, wow, that looks like faster. Right? I can either do that, or I can look at the speedometer and allow it to speak truth to me and make a correction. Hello? What I'm saying to you this is maybe you are grumpy. And what I want to talk to you about is how to change that today. And I want to look at predominantly the Apostle Paul and look at a bunch of his writings, and you'll understand it. Watch this. It doesn't make any difference where he is. He's happy because he's happy in his heart. And what I want to teach you today is how to have a happy heart. Because if you have a happy heart, you will be happy. And even in times of, I got a flat tire. Oh, you know what? Whatever the turmoil is, it will be very short-lived, very temporary. You will very quickly get onto the solution side of it. Why? Because your heart is right. Because your heart is happy. And when your heart is happy, you'll be happy. Is this making sense? So, again, review. Last week, we talked about the deception to think, no, let me tell you why. No. I'm not grumpy because I'm grumpy. I'm grumpy because the circumstances in my life, and as soon as the circumstances change, then I will be not grumpy. Because I'm really a happy person. And I'm not trying to bring you bad news today, but I'm saying that you're deceived. You'll go, that mentality is a, we talked about it last week, that mentality is a equation to have a miserable life. Because you'll go from, and let me tell you about people that are that way. People that are that way, they might have 8 cool things going on in their life. But they'll focus on the 3 things that are not going good in their life. See, you might be that way. But here's what I'm saying. If you're that way, Because here's the reality. If you're that way, you won't be happy until 100% of your life is going good. Do you see why that's a recipe for misery? Because when, let's be real, when's that going to happen? When is that going to happen? See, and Paul, who makes a decision, I'm going to be happy. But I'm going to show you why he makes that decision. I'm going to show you what his decision is based on. So let's do some review real quick. Number one point, you know what? We have the power to be happy. Look at your neighbor and say, you have the power to be happy. Okay. Why is this important? Because now you are empowered. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I didn't know I had the... Listen, you have the steering wheel. It's in your hand. And to know that is a good thing. You know, oh, no, the circumstances are why I'm not. No, that's wrong. Circumstances have nothing to do with it. You have the power to be happy. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. That's what the Bible said. So you have the ability to be happy, number one. Number two, you know what? You give your joy away. We talked about this last week. In circumstances, you have this joy level, and particularly if you spend some time with Christ, which is kind of my point of today. But when you wake up in the morning, you spend 5, 10, 15 minutes, half an hour to God, you read the Word of God, have this joy level, and what you do is, then you go to the grocery store and something, and you're upset because they don't have mayonnaise. You know what I mean? I mean, it's crazy to go to the grocery store and they don't have mayonnaise. I got to go to another store. You know what I mean? And you're like, and stuff like that is irritating, is it not? But here's what happened. You just gave some of your joy away. And then you know what? And then you go to the next grocery store and you know what? And you can't find parking. And then finally you find a place to park and you know what, but it was, I don't know, they had this some weird yellow sign with a like person in a wheelchair, but you're like, oh, I'm going to park there anyway. And then, you know what I mean, you come out and there's a $486 ticket, and you're like, man, you know what, didn't they see I was limping, you know what I mean? Really? You know what I mean? Anyway, do you understand? It's like, and many times, listen, and many times it really doesn't even have to do, it's like you're creating your own mess. But between you creating your own mess and the mess that is out there anyway. Remember we looked, beware of dogs? How many of those are some dogs out there? You know what I mean? It's just like, I just got done preaching this week. And yet, you know what? I wasn't aware of dogs. You know what I mean? Went to this restaurant and there was a bunch of dogs in there. You know what I mean? And I was like, man, and I'm like with the chew toy with them. Pastor, don't you get it? No. I'm getting it. You know what I mean? I'm learning with you guys. Amen? But it's, but we got to get it. Because I let someone take joy from me. And when I let them take joy from me, watch this, so important. Now I don't have joy to give to my family. Now I don't have joy to give to others. See, I need to be filled with joy that I give joy. Not that I allow people to take joy from me. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Amen. I'll say that again. Thank you. So here's the deal. I need to be a giver of joy. Not I need to not allow them to take joy from me. No. You can't have my joy. Yeah, but they did. I know. Listen, I'm not saying that it doesn't take discipline to live a life this way. What I'm saying is that, please understand, you are giving your joy away. Somebody say, I give my joy away. No. I'm living to you because of that. No. No, you allowed them to take it from you. I'm not saying you don't have opportunities every day. I'm saying that we need to recognize I don't have to give them my joy. I don't have to let them. I don't have to let this circle. Just because they didn't have mayonnaise at the grocery store doesn't mean that I don't have to walk in joy. I'm not going to let them take my joy today. Listen to me. It's too valuable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right. So we went over that last week. Third point, never got to it last week, but I want to get to it this week. My third point, number one, you know what? You have the power to be happy. It's up to you. Number two, you know what? People give their joy away. Don't let them take it. Keep it. It's up to you. Number three, grateful people are happy. Grateful people are happy. Everybody say grateful people are happy. James chapter 1, verse 17. Look what this says. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everybody say, God is good. Okay. So he's good, and he's good all the time, and he's constantly giving you things that are blessings to you. And if you will be wise to be grateful. See, notice what I didn't say, because the wording's important. Grateful people are happy. Here's what I didn't say. And this is true too. But I didn't say happy people are grateful. I didn't say that. I said grateful people are happy. Why did I do it in that order? Here's why. Because I want you to understand the power that you have. You said, Pastor, but I'm just kind of like, to be honest with you, I just kind of, that's how I roll. I'm always, like, I'm not one of those, like, glass half full people. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm kind of like a glass half empty person. I kind of notice that, like, what's wrong all the time. I think that's a skill set that God gave me. Okay, well, we could debate that later, but all I'm saying is please understand your ability to control your attitude. This could be a point. You could write this down. It's not a point, but I want you to write down. You determine your attitude. You determine your attitude. So here's what I'm saying. When I say grateful people are happy, the reason I said it that way is because I want you to understand you can turn things around. Watch. Just real quick. Think of something to be grateful for. Think of something to be grateful for. And when I count to three, shout it out at me. Okay, everybody. One, two, three. Shout it. Okay, boom. Here, let me teach you how powerful this is. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Everybody do this. When I say go, I want you to start counting. And I want you to start counting in your head from 1 to 100. Okay? I'm going to say go, and then I want you, not now, but when I say go, I want you to start counting from 1 to 100. Then right in the middle of that, or not in the middle, but when I say tell me your name and where you live, I want you to then loudly tell me your name and where you live. Okay? You ready for this? You understand the instruction? What do you first do? You're starting to count in your head from 1 to 100. And then when I say, what's your name, then you're going to tell me your name and where you live. Okay, ready? And you're going to do that loudly so I can hear. Ready? So we're going to start to counting. Ready? Start counting now. Shh, quietly. What's your name? Where do you live? Okay, now I'm asking. What happened when you told me your name and you're counting, and when you told me your name and where you lived, what happened to your counting? It stopped. Okay. Now listen, this is something that I'm trying to teach you. You can control your mind. And one of the ways that you can control your mind is to simply focus on something else. See, when I asked you your name and told me where you live, now you had to take the focus off your counting and get it involved in what I ask. Grateful people are happy. So, Pastor, not just me. No, it's not you, because that's what you focus on. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Listen, I can't, how many know, I'm not going to do this, But if I pick this up and I, that's too heavy. Yeah, great. So if I put this in front of my head, you know what I mean? If I walked around like this, you know what I mean?
I'm walking around like this.
Oh, man. You know what I'm going to say? You know what I'm going to think? You said, what's the South Sanctuary look like?
I don't know. It's like really white-ish.
And it's got like all kinds of little hearts on it. What? The South Sanctuary doesn't look white with hearts on it. See, here's what I'm saying. You can create this warped reality in your mind. And listen to me very carefully. And when I talk to you and go, life's not like that. Sales sanctuary is not like that. You will argue with me. And here, listen to me. And in your mind, you're right. That's why a third party is so helpful in perspective. Ask somebody else what they think of you. And then be open to listening to what they have to say. Because many times you're like, no. It's no. I am a happy person. It's just all the people around me. They make me so mad. I'm happy, but they make me mad. No. Here, give me the backpack. No, they don't. Just stop keeping that. Just control your mind. You know, the Bible says, think on that which is good. You know why the Bible gives you command to think on that which is good? Because you have the ability to. God never tells you to do something that you can't do. Now, there's sometimes we don't do what he tells us to do, and then we get in a mess. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to count to three. When I'm going to say 4, 3, 2, 1. When I say one, everybody, you're going to jump up on your feet. And here's what you're going to do, and you're going to tell me out loud 5 things that you're thankful for. And you're going to do it loud so I can hear you. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Is everybody ready? Okay. Are you ready? Okay. What's the instructions? 4, 3, 2, 1. You jump up on your feet. 5 things. Oh, and when you're done with your 5 things, sit down. When you're done with 5 things, sit down, okay? And be quiet then, okay? But I need some volume. 5 things real loud. Ready? 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Good. Don't lose the enthusiasm. 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, whoa. Sit down. I forgot. 5 things, 5 new things. Ready? Give me the volume. 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Good. 5 new things. 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Amen. One more time. Come on. You control your mind. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. 5 new things. Go. See, can I just tell you something? You know, listen. Now, here's what happened. You know what? I see smiles all over the place. See, look at your neighbor, say, smiling really is my favorite. Now, here's why. Listen to me. Here's why. Here's why right now you can say that because here's why. Because in this exercise, I helped you to focus on that which is good.
Amen.
Now, here's the reality. We're not going to do this. We could do the same thing and talk about, stand up and tell me 5 things that you're bummed out. Now, here's the deal. When you're doing that, see, you can't focus. You can't focus on the negative and be positive. That's why I had to teach you this again. That's why I had to take part two. Because I can tell you that it's important for you to be positive. I can tell you important that you need smiling needs to be your favorite. I can even ask you, and you'll be obedient to tell your neighbor smiling is your favorite. But what we have to do is we have to change our heart. Because if we don't change our heart, then we won't change. Then it will be just be something. And in 30 seconds, you'll go out there and find something to be mad. And for many people that come into the church, that's where they live. Now, I said that to spend a lot of time, but I want to show you just quickly a couple passages in Scripture. Can I show you these? Yeah. Grateful people are happy people. I showed you this one. Oh, my next point, and we'll close with this, my last point. People that are happy are people that focus on Jesus. Everybody say focus on Jesus. See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, well, guys in the back, you got to flow with me because I don't have this on your notes. Let's go to Psalm, the 16th Psalm, because this is so foundational. The 16th Psalm. And look at verse 11, 16th Psalm, verse 11. Here's what it says. You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. See, why is Paul so happy in prison? Here's why. Because in him he lives and moves and has his being. Does this make sense? See, if you understand in him is fullness of joy, in his presence is the fullness of joy, then all you have to do is get in his presence. Hello? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians, or 1 Colossians, not 1 Colossians. There's only one Colossians, sorry. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Look at this. Colossians. If then you are raised with Christ. Do you know what that means? It means, are you a Christian? So if you're a Christian, watch this. If then you are raised in Christ, seek those things which are above. Say seek.
Seek.
See, that takes focus. You've got to, you decide what you think all the time. And you have learned in the process of, and many of you would argue with me. No, that's not true. You're just, and here's why. Because you have, guys, I love you. I'm not trying to be condescending to you. I'm a teacher, so I got to teach. Does this make sense? In your mind, you know what? We live in a decadent society. You know what? We live in a society that says, particularly because they're trying to sell you things, they do not want to talk about discipline. How many disciplined people are the enemy of Visa? Come on. That is good. Disciplined people are the enemy of MasterCard. Disciplined people are the enemy of most car companies. I'm not saying if you drive a new car, you're undisciplined. I'm saying if you drive a new car, it's very possible that you might be undisciplined. I'm not saying that you are. I don't know. What I'm saying is we have learned, because our society has taught us this, that we just, you know, our just mind goes like this. It's like, what are you doing? You know, all eyes up here. This is silly, but you'll get the point. What are you doing? I'm thinking. What are you thinking about? I don't know. I got no control. That's where most people live. And your mind will go here, and it'll go there, and it'll go here, and you're like, and what I'm saying is, You ever done a new exercise? You're not used to exercising a certain way, and so like you'll be on a, I don't know if you've ever done this. You'll be on an incline machine, and you'll have the dumbbells, and you haven't done this in a long time. And so you go to go up, and when you go up, your arms go like this. Whoa! You know why that happens? You know why you're like, and like the guy's helping you is like, oh no, I'll do it like this. You know why? You know why he goes, do it like this, not like this? You know, why are you doing that? Here's why. Because your muscles are so untrained. But if you did that exercise over and over again, you'd get on that machine in 3 weeks and you wouldn't do that. Your muscles go out because you haven't used that. And it's like, That's what our mind does. And we have allowed ourselves, that's why the Bible says, take every thought captive. You know why it says that? Because you have the ability to. You know, I remember years ago going into 31 Flavors, you know what I mean? And the guy who was scooping my ice cream, you know what I mean, said, I started a conversation with him. I say, hey, do you like this job? This must be a fun place to work. He said, yeah, but the first 3 weeks I got here, I went home one time and I put on my shirt and I recognized I was lopsided. I was like, you are lopsided? He said, yeah, because I scooped the ice cream all day with the one hand. And when I put on my shirt, I recognized that this muscle had been way more developed than this muscle. And what I do now is I do, you know what, a scoop, you know, some scoops on this hand, but then I do some scoops on this hand that I could stay level. That's a funny story, huh? Here's so why I say that. Because, you know what, you have got to start to discipline your mind. That's why it says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek, I said all that to say this, seek those things which are above. See, focus on that which is above. Which Christ is, where Christ is, sitting in the right hand of God. Next verse, watch this. Set your mind. Set your mind. You know, like your mom sometimes used to do. Remember this? You'd be like, oh, you know what I mean? And your mom would go, no, it's right there. You know what she was doing? She was setting your mind. And that's what we have to do. But watch this. We have to set our mind, watch this, on the things above. Not the things on this earth. If you set your minds on the things that there's, what's Paul doing? Paul's in the middle of prison, but he's setting his mind on the things above. So all he's finding is like, because let me tell you what, when you set your mind on things above, I guarantee you, you'll be filled with just, that's what I did that exercise for. Because I want you to understand, this is a choice. You all made a choice. I am going to stand up, and I'm going to think about 5 good things, and I'm going to say those 5 things. I can't control you. You were just gracious to do what I asked you to do. But ultimately, you did that. You can do that same thing all day. And if you, please connect the dots. If you understand that all good things come from the Father of lights, if you're meditating on that which is good, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to be meditating on that which is God. Oh, I don't think you caught that. All good things. You know what Jonah said? I think I got that scripture. It's my last, I think one of my last verses. Or it's after this one. Yeah, perfect timing. I'm doing what my notes said. Okay, Jonah, watch this. Jonah, this is Jonah chapter, you guys got it? Chapter 4, I think, verse 2. You guys don't got that? I got it, okay. Now, you know the story of Jonah? Jonah doesn't want to go to, help me out, somebody. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. You know why? Because he don't like the Ninevites. You know what I mean? He don't like them for whatever reason, but he don't like the Ninevites. And he don't want to go to Nineveh. He don't want to go to Nineveh because if he goes to Nineveh, he's going to preach the gospel in Nineveh, and he knows how God is. We got a wrong, we got a distortion of who God is. Let me tell you what God is. God is good all the time. All the time. God is, you know, it's like what I like for my birthday. I like chocolate cake with chocolate icing. I like chocolate chocolate cake. I want chocolate. Look, chocolate cake, chocolate ice cream, you know what? And I want chocolate more. Yeah, amen. I want every scoop to be chocolate. Okay, that's how God is. Every scoop, if he was a cake and you cut him, every single place that you'd find would be goodness. That's how God is. And Jonah knows this, and you know what? And he doesn't like these people. And he's like, let me tell you what. So he prayed to the Lord and said, ah, Lord, he knows how God is. Ah, Lord, it is not this that what I said when I was, what? Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. Now, here's why. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. That's who God is. Let me tell you about God. Jonah's like, let me tell you what, I don't want to go there because when I preach the gospel, all these people are going to get saved and I don't want them to get saved. Listen, be careful if there's a group of people that you don't want in heaven with you. That is not good. He's like, let me tell you what. I don't want to be up in heaven and all these Ninevites are there. Whoa. But here's the point. The point is, he knew God's goodness. And you cannot think of that which is good that you cannot focus on who God is. And if you will, so simple. My message is so simple to you this morning. You can get happy right now. You got happy, and all I did was a silly exercise to get you up and say five things. You know what? Here's what your day should be like. Don't get up out of the bed until you think of good things. When you go to bed, you know what? It's what I do all the time before I go to sleep. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my kids. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for Jesus. You know what? I thank God for the pillowlessness bed you ever laid on. Pastor, how come you always talk about your pillowless bed? Pillowless. Pillowless. Listen, when I lie in our bed, you know what? I am lying on pillows that have pillows that have pillows. It's just a real comfortable bed. So, Pastor, what are you making a big deal about that? Listen, I think we need to make a big deal of the goodness of God. I think that what we have done is we have become lazy in our Christianity. We've gotten to the place where we focus on that which is not good, and that is anti what God wants us to do. And Paul is saying, listen, I do this all day long. This is who I am. So even to the place that he says, what, and I talked about last, so what you going to do? You going to kill me? Let me tell you why I'm so happy. Because for me, to live is Christ. I think about him. I focus about him. And see, you can't focus on that which is, you can't focus on that which is the epitome of good and not start smiling. You can't focus on this guy who's given you all these good things that you don't start saying, man, thank God for this. Thank God for that. Thank God for this. And because what I'm telling you is there are situations in your life that are going to continue to exist. Well, that's not a positive message. No, it is a positive message. You've got to stop looking at that for what you've got to stop seeing even the things that you say negative. You need to start looking at that as positive. Pastor, that's crazy. No, that's biblical. Count it all joy when you go through various trials. See, this is, you know what this is? This is a disciplined follower of Christ. You know what a disciplined follower of Christ is called? A disciple. What I'm saying is that what I want you to understand today is you control your life. You can control your attitude. And I'm not only telling you that you will be responsible. You know what the Bible says? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Jesus said, by your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. So this sloppiness of just complaining about everything, why is it so hot in here? You know, why is it fork dirty? You know what I mean? Where's my water? You know what I mean? Right? And that becomes who you are. And it is who you are. This is deep. It is who you are because that's who you are. You know what Jimmy Evans says? Jimmy Evans, wonderful teacher of the gospel, wonderful communicator. Jimmy Evans says this, that if you complain all the time, understand what the issue is. It's your evil heart. How many still glad you came today? You said, well, why would I be glad I came? Here's why. Because I've just given you the solution to change your life. And if you will just, what's your solution? Just start focusing on Him. In Him is the fullness of joy. You can't focus on God. You can't focus on His goodness and not be good. You can't focus on His goodness and not just accidentally. It will be the overflow. It will be the fruit. And here's what will happen. You'll just start, you will become a positive person. Or is this about being a positive person? You know what I mean? No, this is about acting like Jesus Christ. This is about walking in joy. This is about your actions. Now people look at you and they know your life isn't perfect and they glorify God. Are you catching this? Can I just show you one more scripture and then we'll end? Oh my goodness, there's so many. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I said one. Can we do two more? Who says two more? Okay. Who says two more? Raise your hand if you want two more. Okay. Praise God. You win. Okay. Wait. Raise your hand if you want two more. Two more. Okay. 2, 4, 6, 8. Okay, we're going to be here a long time. I'm just joking. I'm just setting you up. Okay. See, that's joy. Amen. See, we get all so serious. Ooh, serious. Just relax. Amen. Well, you better watch it. I might show you vessel and the pestle in a minute. Second service didn't get it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 8. This is so, so, so good. Look at verse 8. But we are hard-pressed on every side. Yet, we're not crushed. We're persecuted, but not in despair. We're forsaken, but not struck down. Let me try it again. We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're persecuted, but not in despair. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, not destroyed. Now, let me go over those very quick. We're hard-pressed on every side. Hard-pressed on every side. Watch this. Yet. Everybody say yet.
Yes.
Who is somebody that's hard-pressed on every side, but he's not crushed? That's a bad dude. That's like Superman. They're all crying. He's like, you're pressing on every side, but let me tell you what, I'm not crushed. You know why he's not crushed? Because in him, he lives and moves and has his being. God is inside of him, so he could be pressed. Listen to me. He can be pressed on all sides, but it doesn't affect him. That is good. Watch this. We'll go through the list. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. You ever not know the answer? Wouldn't not knowing the answer cause you to be in despair? How many when you know the answer? It's despairing. How come he's perplexed, But he's not in despair. Because he's got God. He's like, man, I don't know the answer. But I know the one who does know the answer. Do you see what's happening? Because he has Christ, he's hard-pressed, but he's not crushed. He's perplexed. He don't know, but he's not like hopeless. He's like, but God knows the answer. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. People are persecuting him, but let me tell you, I'm not forsaken. Why? God, he knows. God's promised never leave me or forsake me. I got people who are persecuting, but God's never going to leave me. So if God's for me, man, I'm happy, right?
Yeah.
I'm forsaken, persecuted, but not forsaken. I'm struck down, but I'm not destroyed. I've been struck down. They threw stones at me so bad that they thought I was dead. Some people think I was dead. We don't know if he was dead. He might have been dead. Might have been raised from the dead. We don't know. But here's what we know. He got up, went back to where they kicked him out of. Then the next day went back into the city that he was run out of and started preaching the gospel again. Are you catching this? Always caring about, watch this, here's my point. Always caring, verse 10, always caring about the body, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. That the life of Jesus also may be manifest in my body. Watch this. For we who live are always delivered to death for Christ's sake, that the life of Christ may also be manifest. Watch this. That the life of Christ might be manifest in my body. It's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus. I'm going to focus on Jesus. I'm going to focus on Jesus. He died. I died with him. You can't jack me up because guess what? I'm going to be raised from the dead just like Jesus was. And watch this. And that's going to take place in my mortal body. That's taking place right now. It's my spirit. I focus on the spiritual things. I don't get my mind off on this petty stuff you're doing. So you can press me hard, but I'm not crushed. I cannot know exactly what's going on, but I know the one who does know what's going on. You can't get me. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm above. I'm not beneath. That's who I am. And that's who I am because that's who Christ is. I'm going to focus on Jesus Christ, and I got nothing bad to say, only that good things to say. And let me tell you what, if you speak good things and think good things and speak good things and think good things, then guess what? Smiling is going to be your favorite. And it's not going to be like, you know, and it's not like you're taking a picture. They say, smile. You're like, I got nothing to smile about, but I'm smiling anyway. No, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to be some paste-on smile for 30 seconds. You're going to see it in your heart. Can I tell you what? I'll close with this. This is years and years and years ago. I was just a teenager. It was back in the day when they had you know where the old on Beverly Boulevard and Norwalk in that corner used to be a pizza place. You know what I'm talking about? The Domino's Pizza used to be there. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, whatever. Before that, watch. There used to be a gas station up there. Texaco, thank you very much. I was there. I got out of my car. This lady, it was way back in the day when they used to come out and you had a choice, okay? And I pumped my own gas, but she was there. And I saw her, and I said, you're a Christian, aren't you? And she said, yes, I am. He said, Pastor, how did you know she was a Christian? Because I saw it. I saw it in her countenance. It's who she was. What I'm saying to you today is Paul wasn't working anything up. That's who he was. And that which was inside him. If you ask Paul, what's your favorite? He'd say, smiling is my favorite. Because Jesus Christ lived inside him. Nobody could get him down. No situation could get him down. He wasn't going to be discouraged over anything. And all I'm saying is, that's where we can live. I said, Pastor, how do you do that? Just spend some time with God. Just focus on him. Just instead of spending time thinking about that which is negative, just just spend some time. Just on your way home. On your way home, turn off the radio and just confess things that you're happy about. Amen. Just be grateful. By the time you get home, you'll instead of walking in like the, tell the hun, home, I had a bad day. I'm gonna make your bed dad bay. You know what I just said, right? I'm gonna be mad. You know what? And you better be happy that I'm mad. Right? And that way, and don't point out that I'm. You know what? Instead of that, you're gonna say no. You're gonna be happy. And you're gonna go home, and you're gonna be sweet to your kids, and you're gonna be sweet to your wife, you're gonna be sweet to your husband. Because you know what you've done? You've acted like Jesus Christ acted. You're putting on garments of righteousness. Sweetie, you want to come on up here?
Good morning. I like today's message. Amen. It's good to hear. It's not optional. God commands us to rejoice. It's not an option. And so if we're going to let Jesus be our Lord, then that means that we need to begin to walk in it. Amen? We have to walk that out. I remember one time, it was a real sad time for me. Something was going on, and I began to try to just encourage myself a little bit, and I began to just try and meditate on some things that were good, and oh God, thank you for this and thank you for that. You ever try to pull something off and you're just not doing so good? So that day was me, and I just began to cry even harder. And I remember the Lord said, I want you to start twirling and dancing. And excuse me, hello. I'm sitting here like a crumbled mess, and you want me to do what? You know what? It was just ridiculous to me. But he said, do it. And I remember just beginning to just twirl. And then that twirling just turned into more twirling and more twirling. And the next thing you know, I was laughing. And God, because of my obedience, see, it wasn't okay. I was losing it. And he knew I was losing it. And I'm just grateful. I can't tell you how stupid I felt. I mean, thank God I was alone, right? So I can't tell you how stupid I felt when I began to do it. But I can't tell you how happy I was after having obeyed and doing what he asked me to do. Does that make sense? And he knew, it's like he's reaching down. He's desperately trying to rescue me before I fall off the edge. But I've got to submit to him, do what he asked me to do. His ways are higher than my ways. My way said, do not dance right now. You don't feel like dancing. Do not twirl. This is ridiculous. But God's ways are higher than my ways. And so just loving him and just trusting him, I just moved in what he asked me to do. And it just saved me. I was always perplexed by that moment in my life, you know what I mean? Because it was just like, oh. And I heard a pastor that I enjoy very much one time, and he said very much kind of the same thing. You know what? He was out spending some time with the Lord, and the Lord said, dance for me. And he's like, what? I'm not going to do that. And he says, Daddy loves it when you dance. Dance for me. And he's very funny, pastor. And anyway, it was just, I was like, oh, it wasn't just me. Everyone gets that. Amen. Gets that love from God.